All praise and glory to Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed and forgiven children of Christ, allow me to share a story that happened to another pastor. It was a sad day. It was a funeral. But what made this funeral extra sad was that the casket in the front of the church was not the normal size. It was a bit smaller. A father was burying his young son. Obviously, he was grieving, but he said to the pastor, "Pastor, the hardest thing about all of this is that I will no longer be able to experience things with my son that other fathers and sons get to experience. He would never be able to teach his son how to throw a football, how to cook food on the grill, how to drive a car. He would never see his son graduate, get married, and start a family of his own." So now imagine you're the pastor. What do you say to this father? There are no words of, "It's going to get better." There are no words of, "I know what you are going through." There are no words of, "My thoughts and my prayers are with you," that will truly comfort this father. The only words that would truly comfort a father in this situation are the words that Jesus said this morning. He is the resurrection and the life. For as Jesus deals with death in this account, we see that out of death, Jesus brings life. Now, Lazarus was the brother of Mary and Martha. The other time that we hear about Mary and Martha in Scripture is when they invited Jesus into their home for a meal. And that's where Mary sat down by Jesus' feet, listening to him teach, while Martha became so fixated on all the preparations. She became frustrated and she told Jesus to make her sister help her with the preparations. That's when Jesus told Martha, "There's only one thing that is needed, to hear the word of God," which is what Mary had chosen. That's the familiar account that we have of Mary and Martha. But we shouldn't think that Jesus only met Mary and Martha one time. He was very close with them. He was friends with them, including Lazarus. And so when Lazarus became sick, Mary and Martha sent message to Jesus, updating him on the situation. Jesus was not far from Mary and Martha's house. He could have been there within hours. But when Jesus received that message, he stayed where he was for 2 days. And then when he does go to Mary and Martha's house, he's not in a hurry to get there. Because by the time he gets there, Lazarus has already been dead and buried for 4 days. So many other people had come from Jerusalem to offer up words of comfort to Mary and to Martha. And on the surface, it seems like Jesus didn't even care. But that couldn't be farther from the truth. For out of death, Jesus was going to bring life. When Martha heard that Jesus had arrived, she ran to him and she said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." It would be easy for us to be overcritical of what Martha says here. It almost seems like she's angry with Jesus and blames him for Lazarus' death. But remember that Martha is grieving. She just lost her brother, and those who are grieving tend to say things that they regret or they say things in the wrong way. But can you really blame her? Martha knew the power of Jesus. She knew the miracles that Jesus could perform and heal people of their illnesses and diseases. But in the end, we still see Martha's faith clinging on to Jesus, for she said, "Whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you." And Jesus was going to give Martha exactly what she needed. Jesus said, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Martha was fixated on physical life, and she believed that Lazarus will rise again on the last day. But Jesus took this opportunity to bring spiritual life out of death. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Anyone who believes in Jesus will live forever. Even though the body may die and lie in the grave, the eternal soul returns to God and lives with him. This is only possible through Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. So Jesus asked Martha if she believed this. And she said, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come, who was to come into the world." She believed what Jesus said to her. And what a miracle that really is. Imagine if you were at a funeral of your loved one, and someone comes up to you and says, "Hey, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies." How would you honestly react to that person? You would be offended, hurt, angry. You might think that person is crazy. You may even ask that person to leave the funeral. But when Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies," Martha believed him. And she wasn't the only one who believed Jesus. At the end of this account, we hear that many of the Jewish people who had come to comfort Mary and Martha had put their faith in Jesus after he performed this miracle. Out of death, Jesus brought spiritual life. And out of death, Jesus brings spiritual life to you and to me. We believe that Jesus is the Christ and that he is the resurrection and the life. What a miracle that truly is. For Scripture says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." By nature, we were spiritually dead. There was no spiritual life within us. And just like how a physical dead person can only remain dead and rot and decay, so also we who were spiritually dead could only remain spiritually dead and rot and decay. Spiritually speaking, we were just like all of those dry bones that Ezekiel saw in the valley. But through the Word, and through the Spirit of God, those bones came to life. And through the Word and through the Spirit of God, out of spiritual death, Jesus brought us spiritual life. But that does not mean that we cannot spiritually die again. We still have that sinful nature that lives in us. That sinful nature is constantly in conflict with our spiritual life, trying its best to spiritually kill us and to put our faith to death. It tries this in so many ways. It can use grief, that we become so overwhelmed with sorrow that we can't find comfort in Christ. It can use hardships, that we get to the point that we become frustrated with God and we begin to doubt him. It can use joy and success in life. that we get to the point that we think we don't even need God anymore since everything is going so well. Our sinful nature tries its best to kill our spiritual life, which is why Paul told us, if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. So let me ask you, if you had the choice between life and death, which one would you choose? You would obviously choose life. So why is it that we so often choose spiritual death? Those times that we flirt with sin and we think that the sin that we commit won't affect us spiritually. Those times that we deliberately sin against God and it doesn't even bother us. Those times that we put our spiritual life in jeopardy by not feeding our faith through the Word and repenting of our sins. It's the sinful nature trying its best to kill us spiritually. And so let us listen to what Paul said. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Let us put to death the deeds of our sinful nature. Let us be like Martha and put our faith in Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. For through him, he gives us spiritual life. But it's not just spiritual life that Jesus brings out of death. Maybe you have heard the phrase, in order to be the man, you have to beat the man. Well, in order for Jesus to be the resurrection and the life, he has to beat death. Understand why he has to. Even though we have spiritual life through Jesus and our soul goes to heaven, if our bodies always remain in the grave, then death has won. Death can claim that it has taken something from us and is victorious. But death will not be victorious. For out of death, Jesus brings physical life. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. Let's not pass over these words too quickly. Even though Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do, he's still overwhelmed as he goes to the tomb. In this account, we hear that very short passage of how Jesus wept at the death of Lazarus, his friend. He knows the pains of death and the sorrow that it brings. But this only motivated him all the more to bring life out of death. He told the people to remove the stone from the tomb. He looked up to heaven and he thanked the Father that he had heard him and would give him what he would ask. In a loud voice, he said, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus, who has been dead for 4 days, whose body would have been decaying at this moment, came out of the tomb alive. They took off his grave clothes, and he went on his way, continuing to live. It's an unbelievable miracle what Jesus performs here, how he brings physical life out of death. But there's a problem here. Even though Lazarus was raised from the dead, he would not continue on living physically forever. Eventually, he would die again. And in one aspect, it seems like everything that Jesus did for Lazarus was for nothing. What's the point of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead if he's just going to die once again? That's the problem here. Once again, Jesus solves this problem. For out of his own death, Jesus brings eternal physical life. But why does Jesus die? Why doesn't he just proclaim us forgiven and so that he can continue on living? It's because the wages of sin is death. Because we have sinned, Jesus had to die for those sins. But out of his death, Jesus brings life, forgiveness, and salvation. But we don't believe in a Jesus who is still dead. We believe in Jesus who is the resurrection and the life. By his own power, Jesus laid down his life for us. And by his own power, Jesus raised himself from the dead. But what makes Jesus' resurrection different than Lazarus' resurrection? When Lazarus was raised from the dead, he eventually died again. But when Jesus was raised from the dead, he did not and would not die again. That's the resurrection that's waiting for you and for me. Unless Jesus returns in our lifetimes, we will die and our bodies will lie in the grave. But on the last day, out of death, Jesus will bring life. He will raise our bodies from the grave and our souls will be reunited with our bodies. And so we can say, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Death will be swallowed up forever through the victory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we will live with God forever. This is the only message that truly comforts a person in life, even at a funeral. And so you may be wondering, what did that pastor say to that father who was burying his son? What did the pastor say to the father who said the hardest thing about this experience was that he could no longer have experiences with his son that other fathers and sons can have? Well, as it turned out, the pastor didn't have to say anything. For the father continued on saying, I may not be able to have those experiences with my son, but what I will experience is being with my son in heaven. The father trusted that what God did was for the best. The father didn't know that if the son continued on living, maybe his son would have fallen away from the faith. And so at this funeral, the father still had joy. And knowing that his son's faith was in Christ, who is the resurrection and the life, and that he was in heaven at that very moment. Out of death, Jesus brought comfort and life to this father. And out of death, Jesus brings life to us. We were spiritually dead, but Jesus has given us spiritual life, and our souls will continue to live with him forever. And out of death, Jesus gives physical life. On the last day, he will raise our bodies from the dead, and we will live with him forever, because Christ is the resurrection and the life. For out of death, he brings us life, both physical and spiritual and eternal. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.